Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. As the U.S. biosimilar industry continues to expand, physicians, payers, and pharmaceutical companies have been at the forefront of the discussion on how to increase biosimilar uptake and education efforts. However, pharmacists also have a role to play in sharing information and encouraging uptake. The lack of interchangeability designations for U.S. biosimilars prevents pharmacists from being able to switch out costly originator drugs with more affordable biosimilars. They must get approval from a physician first. There are other ways, though, that pharmacists can help uptake efforts. We sat down with Dr. Sonia T. Osqui, Vice President of Biosimilars at Cardinal Health, to discuss the power that pharmacists have in facilitating biosimilar uptake in the United States and what healthcare organizations can do to empower pharmacists further. So to start us off, what can pharmacists do to help promote biosimilar uptake?
So pharmacists are really well positioned to serve as champions for biosimilars and to lead strategies and initiatives that could drive adoption. In fact, by supporting many different health systems and entity types, we've really been able to recognize some key themes and trends with those early adopters or those that have been more successful adopting biosimilars. And one of the most common themes we found is that these organizations have had champions leading biosimilar efforts. And more oftentimes than not, these have been pharmacists either working with the pharmacy teams or even partnering with a physician champion to drive these efforts. So in this capacity, they lead education efforts across the organization, not only for providers, but also other members of the healthcare team, including infusion center nurses, for example, to make sure they're equipped with the knowledge needed to support patients along the care journey. So I'd also say pharmacists can help promote biosimilar uptake by proactively monitoring the pipeline to anticipate and prepare for new biosimilar approvals. So biosimilar evaluations can really begin upon FDA approval, even if the product's not available yet. So that allows you to have a proactive approach. So when the product does become available, you can expedite any opportunities for cost savings. Lastly, I'll note that pharmacy can help drive biosimilar adoption by understanding the managed care landscape. That is such a significant role when it comes to biosimilar adoption. So understanding the payer mix, the payer policies, can really help identify those viable opportunities for biosimilar utilization.
What role can pharmacists play in biosimilar education?
Yeah, so this is an area that I'm very passionate about. And as pharmacists, we're equipped to play a leading role in biosimilar education. So pharmacists are the medication experts, and they're really positioned to be the source of truth and the source of education to help develop clinical confidence when it comes to biosimilars. So we know with the development of this new approval pathway through the FDA for biosimilars, there's really a shift in how these biologic medicines are being evaluated once they're approved. So the regulatory weight now went to more of the physicochemical characterization of these molecules versus clinical studies that I would say are more traditionally relied upon. So again, this is an area that pharmacists can really help drive the understanding of the scientific principles associated with biosimilars to help gain familiarity and confidence with these products. Another role that I would say pharmacists could really play when it comes to education is to continuously monitor and leverage the international experience with biosimilars. So the EU, for example, is the most seasoned users of biosimilars. And this year, in fact, they're celebrating 15 years of biosimilars use with over 2 billion patient days of experience. So they have robust data, real-world evidence that can be leveraged to help be part of our toolkit for doing education in the US. The last point I'll highlight when it comes to the role of pharmacists for education is really driving and supporting the patient education experience. So that could be from creating counseling points at the appropriate literacy level and making sure that all the healthcare providers and team members are equipped with the education to make the patient feel comfortable and accepting of the biosimilar along their care journey. So a key point when it comes to the patient education piece, The education really can help prevent any potential negative outcomes that may be the result of the patient's perception of what the treatment's doing versus the action of the treatment itself. And so that's also referred to as the nocebo effect. So again, really highlighting the significant role that pharmacists can play when it comes to education.
How do providers' concerns about biosimilars differ from those of pharmacists?
I would say we probably can't generalize the similarities or even differences with concerns with biosimilars, but what we could do is look at it from the different lens to try to understand what considerations may be more prevalent for each stakeholder type. So for example, given the premise of biosimilars and that they have clinically no meaningful differences and expected to have the same outcomes, there could be a bias from a provider perspective to continue utilizing the treatment they're most familiar with. So there's an element of why switch, which has really been overcome by the financial assessments that show economic benefits that can be realized by the patient and the organization. But that could be a concern that's more top of mind from a provider perspective. Now, from a pharmacist perspective, in addition to clinical considerations, given the role they play within their organizations and evaluating products for formulary addition, for example, there's more exposure to the financial and operational components of biosimilars as well. So challenges can include conducting payer coverage assessments and then the inventory management implications of varying payer policies, which can result in carrying some biosimilars, all biosimilars, and the originator biologic at times. Additionally, there's an IT component in which the pharmacy and P&T committee must ensure the appropriate EHR systems updates are made to the preferred drug list and or order sets and ensure the right products are procured, administered, and billed accurately. So there's, I would say, some additional considerations outside the clinical component that may be more top of mind for pharmacists as well.
Some healthcare organizations have improved biosimilar uptake by giving pharmacists the authority to switch out reference products with biosimilars. Is this a controversial move with physicians?
I don't view this as a controversial move because these decisions are really not made in silos. So particularly in health system settings, there are often agreed upon pharmacist-led initiatives approved through P&T committees that can ultimately provide the pharmacy team the authority to make certain substitutions and drive formulary adherence. So this allows for greater efficiencies with the product review process. And given the nature of biosimilars and more of them coming to market, it can really help streamline the operations while making clinically sound and cost-effective formulary decisions. So you're right, we've seen these strategies implemented where biosimilars have been defined to fall under the purview of pharmacists' authority for formulary decisions. And so decisions become more of an informational item in P&T committee meetings versus an action item. But it's important to note too that the practice of using therapeutic interchanges is common in health systems too. So therapeutic interchanges or TIs are essentially authorized exchanges of therapeutic alternatives in accordance with previously established and approved guidelines, policies, or protocols within a formulary system. So these TIs are used with drug products that may even have different chemical structures, but are expected to have the same therapeutic effects and safety profiles when administered to patients. So this concept as a whole is really not new and has been in existence for some time, particularly in the health system setting. But again, these are agreed upon evidence-based initiatives driven through the formulary management process that are aimed at streamlining and standardizing treatment options. And I'll add that there are policies and steps and processes in place too, that if a provider seeks to order a non-formulary product, for example, that is available as well, which may elicit some additional steps.
Well, Dr. Osqui, thank you for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.